Our scripture reading today is from Acts 16, verses 1 to 10. Please follow along either from your bulletin. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As he traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the word of the Lord.
And so, Lord Jesus, we come before you, and we want to just commit this time of hearing what your Spirit has to say to your people. Lord God, prepare our hearts. Allow us to hear you well today, O Lord Jesus. May you, by your Spirit, come and prepare our hearts to receive your word this morning. We thank you again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The scripture that was read to us this morning was found in Acts 16. But in Acts chapter 15, verse 39 to Acts chapter 18, verse 22, this is referred to as Paul's second missionary journey. Starting at Antioch, Paul's plan was to visit and to strengthen the churches in the Asian province of Galatia. He planted these during his first missionary journey. After that, he had hoped to bring the gospel to other unreached areas as well. But as Paul and his companions, Silas and Timothy, continued on traveling west from Phrygia, they were kept by the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 6, from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. Now, you know, we don't really know why or how the Spirit spoke to them, how they changed their plan, but somehow the Spirit of God made it clear to them to not go there. And then they try to head north into the Bithynia. But then again, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, it says in verse 7. So they passed by the region of Mysia and went down and traveled to Troas. And so having been redirected twice already, Paul found himself in a place where, you know, at the edge of the Aegean Sea, not knowing where to go. Then it says in verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." This vision was the clear sign that he needed. Now, as they were at this time really truly being led and guided along by the Spirit of God. And then in verse 10, it says this, "After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." You see, because the Macedonians needed help in reaching their people with the gospel, Paul had no problem. He was willing to go there and help them. I just want to just pause for a moment here, and I just want to ask you the question. Have you ever had your plans interrupted? Have you ever had your plans redirected by God in some way? And what was your response? For instance, have you had your mind so set on doing something, but yet the Spirit of God came and asked you to do something else, either regarding your career, your job situation, or your family situation, or it could be a ministry at church. The Spirit of God came and redirected you a certain way. What would your response be? Back to Acts chapter 16. You know, up until this time in history, the gospel was limited to just a certain part of Asia. And so many historians actually think that, and they give credit to Paul's obedience of his call to, from God with the spread of Christianity into Europe and also into the Western world. You know, a lot of things happened in Macedonia as a result of this. Chapter 16 of Acts, verse 14 says, there was Lydia's conversion, and not just that, but the baptism of her whole household. There was the deliverance in chapter 16, verse 16, of the slave girl who was involved in fortune-telling. There was Paul and Silas's imprisonment in Philippi, in verse 23, which then led to the conversion of the jailer, and his entire household was baptized. It says that. You see, these are just some of the things that took place as Paul planted many, many significant churches in Macedonia as well as elsewhere on this journey. Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, Ephesus. The history of the world forever changed because of the vision of God given to Paul and his obedience to his Macedonian call. We can summarize verse 16, chapter 16, verses 1 and 10 in this way. There was a plea for help. There was a vision from God. There was an obedience to God's call. And then there was a new venture as a result of all this. And so, dear Fraserlands Church, I'd like to share with you what the Lord has actually been doing in our midst in the past while. As you know, God has given us his vision for our church years ago, his vision, to be a church of all nations transformed through faith and love in Christ. And ever since then, the Lord has been bringing people into our midst from different cultures, from different backgrounds, from different nationalities. And that has indeed been an answer to our prayers. In January of 2017, the Lord brought Joseph Luamba Batanyuka to our church. He came to Canada as a refugee, as he was fleeing persecution from the Congolese government because he was speaking out against some of the injustices done in his own country while serving as a pastor in the Congo. And he's been separated from his family ever since. In the meantime, he's been part of our church family for more than 2 years now, actually 2 1/4 to be exact. And he's become a member of our church, Fraserlands, since April 2018. During this time, he's been part of a men's group that meets regularly for Bible study and fellowship, part of our English congregation, part of a loving brother in Christ. And some of you may have also seen him serving as a part-time facility assistant at Fraserlands Church. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being away from your family for over 2 years and not being with your wife, or seeing your children grow up during this time, being a stranger in a strange land with strange customs, wondering why and what and how and if the Lord knows what he's doing. This has indeed been an intense period of prayer and waiting upon God for Joseph. I still remember when he first came to our church. He came to our church one morning. He just showed up sometime in January 2017, out of the blue, without any warning. And he came and he left without much fanfare. I think a few people greeted him, but he didn't tell us who he was, what he was doing. As he told me later on, he wanted to see how he would be treated. He wanted to see if people would accept him as he is, not because they know that he's a pastor. And it wasn't until about 3 months or so later that he started to tell people a story of why and how he came to Canada and specifically to Vancouver and who he was, an ordained alliance pastor from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He chose this church because he searched for churches in this area. Actually, he lived along Marine Drive in Fraser at the time, so It took him an hour to walk here and an hour to walk back. And he did that for a few months before he told people a story. He chose our church as he searched for the CMA churches in this area. But then when he came, he didn't notice any signage or symbols the first few times of the CMA. And so he wasn't sure he was an Alliance church. Not until he saw our communion table with the Alliance logo on it. He told me afterwards he felt so much better once he saw that. But the reason he stayed was not because of any Alliance logo, but rather because of the love, the acceptance that he received from many of you. Those who invited him to your home or who took him out for a meal and for fellowship. Those who went out of your way to be a good Samaritan to him in his time of need. Those who took interest in him when no one else did. So thank you, Fraserlands Church, for being God's loving presence in the life of a refugee, in the life of a foreigner, in the life of a person that the Lord had brought to our church. And so during this season, the Lord has been teaching us as individuals and as a church how to care for Joseph. And it has not always been easy. And we've made some mistakes along the way, like understanding cultural differences and expectations and the way we do things here in Canada versus the Congo. However, this is all good, because we'll need to continue to learn how to do this over and over and over again with every person, with every culture, with every nationality. If we truly want to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. You see, yes, we want the person who comes into our church to be transformed by the love of Christ. But we also need to be transformed by God's love. We also need to be transformed and changed by God so that we can care for and love others as the Lord Himself would care for and love them. So, how does this story continue? What does this have to do with our passage this morning? Good question. I don't know. No, I do. I'll tell you. In June 2018, a group of us went to General Assembly held at First Alliance Church in Calgary. This event happens once every 2 years as pastors, international workers, and lay leaders gather to hear what the Lord is doing in our denomination and all around the world. Joseph came with us because we thought it would be good for him to network with other pastors from across Canada. And little did we know, the networking would be profound. As we were taking a tour of the church, a day even before the conference started, we're looking around the offices, you know, and getting ideas of how to build our, you know, new addition and all that. And all of a sudden, Joseph mentions to someone that he's from Kinshasa in the Congo. And once he mentioned that, you know, someone bolts out of the office with a huge smile on his face, and they're doing this headbutt thing. I don't know if you've seen it before. I know those who came with us, Pastor Josh and others, they've seen it. So you kind of go up to a person, and Lester, why don't you demonstrate with you? So you kind of go up to the person and pretend I'm Joseph and he's the other person, and you kind of lean your head into each other like that, not too hard. Okay. And then you go kind of back and forth like this, kind of in a very, very, very intimate way. And I've never seen it before, but it was, I guess, their custom of greeting and welcoming someone in a very intimate, intimate way. I love you too, Lester. You see, Joseph knew this person in the Congo. He was even at Joseph's ordination while they were both in the Congo years ago. Was this a divine appointment from the Lord? The next day, I was serving on the Strategic Plan Committee at General Assembly, and when I heard a report from the president of ATEC, and she was sharing, this is the French-speaking Alliance Theological School in Quebec, and she was saying that the people of Quebec are the least reached people group in all of the Americas, not just North America, South America, Central America, and all the Americas, the least reached people group. This really hit me hard. Because I couldn't imagine anyone in Canada being considered a least reached people group. It kind of bothered me, actually. Because we're sending people out to the far reaches of the world, which is a good thing. We need to do that. But there's a part of our country that is least reached. What do you do with such information? What do you do when presented with such knowledge? It was just starting to be processed in my mind at that time. And then she says that less than 1% of the Quebec population identify themselves as evangelical Christians. That there's a great need to reach the people of Quebec with the gospel. That there are not enough pastors to minister in the province. That their seminary is not producing graduates, French-speaking pastoral leaders, fast enough to meet the demand. That there's not enough resources at their disposal. Meanwhile, as I'm hearing all this, I'm also hearing messages from Dave Hearn, our president of the CNMA. And you know when Dave looks you in the eye and he starts pointing to you, you no need to listen. And he was challenging us to heed the Spirit's call to go deeper, to start new ventures, to build and birth new churches in our cities, in our provinces, in our country, where the need is the greatest. And he also referenced Quebec during this time. And so, as if this is not enough for me to mull over at the time, the following day, Joseph bumps into another person who he knew from the Congo as well. This is someone who has witnessed the pastoral ministry that Joseph had and was involved with in the Congo. He has seen how Joseph has been sent out into an area to plant a church, and Joseph was successful in planting a church and starting a church from scratch, from 0 to 100 people. His name is, the person on the left, his name is Justin Robert Abilia Kenzo. Let's just call him Kenzo for short. And he's now the district superintendent of the St. Lawrence District, the district in which Quebec is situated in. And before the conference ended, I had a chance to sit down with Kenzo to discuss what really is the need in Quebec. And he too expressed how great a dire need there is for the gospel to be presented. Was this another chance encounter? Or was it a divine appointment for Joseph to meet Kenzo? And so as the five of us left General Assembly, we left with a lot of excitement, a lot of encouragement of how the Spirit of God is moving and leading and filling us for greater things, to go deeper in the Lord, to go deeper in Jesus, to go further on mission, to really hear and sense, to know and to feel the very heartbeat of God for our country and for our world. As we came back to Vancouver after General Assembly, the one lingering thought that stayed with me was the call to come help us. Come help us in Quebec. Come help us in Montreal, as the need for the gospel is great. This became part of our Elder Board agenda in the months following. Month after month, this was part of our agenda item. We prayed into it. We're praying into the strategizing of this. We're having initial discussions. I was having conference calls between myself and Joseph and the Canadian Pacific District and the St. Lawrence District, and we're praying into this even more until we knew that we had to do something. And so in January of 2019, at the advice of the St. Lawrence District, Joseph and I took a scouting trip to Montreal to further discern what God's call could be. And when we were there, we not only looked forward to the great food culture that they have in Montreal. Those of you who have been there, you know, the famous Montreal smoked meat. Poutine served with gravy and fries, gravy and cheese, I should say. Better yet, smoked meat and poutine. I had one of those. Or what about, they call it the meat shovel. It's literally a shovel, the end of a shovel with tons of meat in it, patties and sausages and pork and all types of stuff. I know it's torturing to show this before lunch, right? But much more than this, we appreciate the many people we're able to meet and to spend time with so that we can understand the culture, we can understand the history of Quebec. We met some very interesting people, some very knowledgeable people who lived in Quebec for a while, who understand what it means, who understand what it takes to minister in a culture like that. We met with church planters and longtime pastors, former DSs, those who mentor church planters, historians, keynote speakers for church planting conferences. Person after person we spoke to expressed the need for the gospel in the lives of their countrymen. The harvest is plentiful, they say, but the workers are few. So first, there is a plea for help. Acts chapter 16 says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. You see, some of the churches in Quebec, they may be grandiose in design and very impressive, but the pews are empty. The people are disillusioned with the faith, with the religiosity of their generation and their previous generation. And although the majority of the people still identify themselves as Catholics, they've left the church due to its scandals and irrelevance in the lives of people. Quebec is a very secular place, very much like that of Macedonia. We learn from Acts chapter 16 to chapter 19 that people were given over to idols. Their worship included sexual immorality and drunkenness. Humanism and philosophy abounded in that area. There's racial tension and prejudice. Quebec, like Macedonia, is also a very secular place. And its secularism, people say, may be an indication what the rest of Canada may be like in the future. But Paul, in the book of Acts, he didn't pass over on these people. He didn't give up on them, but he preached the gospel to them nonetheless. And not everyone responded to the message, but some did. And as they did, one by one, their hearts and their minds began to change. And that will be the same today if we allow the Lord to use us. You know, for those of you who took the Hearing God seminar, in one of the Hearing God homework exercises, I think it was in session 5, we were encouraged to ask God questions, to have a conversation with God. And at that time, I had 2 questions written down, and I'll share one of them with you. I wrote down in my conversation with God, what do I do? What do we do with this potential new ministry? That was my question. You see, even though God had made it pretty clear to me and to the elder board, I was still asking the question because I didn't want us to do anything that was not part of God's will or not part of His purpose for us as a church. I wanted to be sure that I was hearing God properly. And so during the week I was in Montreal, I was up one night, and the Lord brought a passage of Scripture to mind. It was Acts 16. I read this passage with great conviction that God was asking me to follow Him in this. This was God's Rhema word to me. God takes the Logos word in Scripture, He applies it to your life, in the areas that you're struggling with, in the questions you're asking Him, and He makes it a Rhema word. This was God's Rhema word to me. A specific word for this situation in answering my question, what do I do with this potential new ministry? And so not only was this an affirmation from God, but a few weeks later, you know, our DS, Errol Rempel, he shows up one day for service, and I'm sure Josh was very, what's he doing here? I'm about to preach. You know, he's having all these probably thoughts that any pastor would have. And then afterwards, I go up to him, I talk to him, and he asked me, so how was your trip to Montreal? And so I shared with him what I felt while I was there and what I was reading. And as I told him what I was reading, he taps me on the shoulder and says, you know what? I was reading Acts 16 that same week. What are the chances that we'd be reading the same book of the Bible in the same chapter in the same week? During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. First, there's a plea for help. Those that we met and spent time with in Montreal were urging us to come over to Montreal and to help them. Second, there's a vision from God. Acts 16, verse 10 says, after Paul had seen the vision. So what is the vision? And who are we to reach out to? As we spoke to scholars and practitioners, those who have much knowledge about the history and culture of Quebec and Montreal, this is what they told us. They said that despite the soil of people's hearts being callous to religion, there's a glimmer of hope on the horizon. As it seems like that there are a couple groups of people who are still open to spiritual matters and conversations, who are open to hearing about God in their lives, the younger generation, those who have not been disillusioned by the church or the faith of their parents, as well as the immigrant population, the diaspora from different countries and nations who have immigrated to Canada, who are in need of help, who are seeking and searching for answers in life for the new life in Canada. This, I believe, needs to be the focus and the vision of this new ministry in Montreal. To be a church that reaches the youth and the young adults of all cultures and the diaspora, the immigrant, the refugee from other countries. And who better to reach a person like that than someone who's an immigrant and refugee himself? Pastor Joseph? There's a spiritual renewal happening in Montreal. And so how will the Lord want us to participate with him in that? There's a plea for help. There's a vision from God. There's an obedience to the call. Second part of verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. You know, when I first heard about the need in Montreal and Quebec at General Assembly 2018 and the shortages of resources that they had, my first thought was this. We have the resources. We have an ordained pastor who speaks fluent French in our midst. When we were in Montreal, I was observing Joseph. He's a different person. You know, he's still learning the language here in Vancouver and everything. But when he was in Montreal, he was speaking French to everyone. He's speaking French to the Quebecois, the native French. He's speaking French to Asians. He's speaking French to Africans. He's probably even speaking French to dogs. He was so in his element. We have the resources. We have an ordained alliance pastor who speaks fluent French, who loves God's word, who loves to pray, and who wants to get back into pastoral ministry. And we have the financial capability. Yes, we are in the middle of a multi-million-dollar building campaign. And no, we don't have extra money to throw away. I get that. But I guess the question really is, do we have the faith? Do we have the faith to give away our resources so that God's kingdom can be advanced from sea to sea? It's as if God was speaking to me and saying, do you know why I blessed you and your church with all the resources I've given you? Well, it's not to just spend money on yourselves. I blessed you with these resources so that you can bless others in return. So that I may use your church, so that I may use my church, says the Lord, for my purposes and for my plans in the world. Isn't this what the church of Antioch did? They sent out their resources to bless others. There's a plea for help. There's a vision from God. There's an obedience to the call. And there's a new venture. The last part of verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Dear Fraselands Church, the Lord is giving us an opportunity to start a new venture in Montreal, to begin a new ministry by stepping out in faith and partnering with the Canadian Pacific District and the St. Lawrence District in Quebec. And I spoke with our two DSs, Errol and Kenzo, and they're very excited about this. I mean, it doesn't happen every day that a church in one district in the West desires to start a new venture in another district in the East. And people are partnering together to do this. And so we, Fraselands Church and Pastor Joseph and the Canadian Pacific District and the St. Lawrence District and, God willing, maybe other churches and organizations are partnering together in order to support a new venture. And we're doing this for about approximately 5 years or so, until it becomes spiritually and financially stable and independent enough so that it can become a self-supporting church with its own leadership team and have its own official church status. Let us pray into this. Let us pray into this as we strive to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ, not just in our own city, but in our country and beyond. And our preliminary discussions with the St. Lawrence District pointed to the area of Montreal East as a possible area in which the new venture could take place. And as we're driving through this area when we're there in January, we stopped to talk to a man who had lived in the area for decades. And he told us he was saddened by the fact that they had to tear down a church in his neighborhood recently so as to make way for this new condo development. So the old church used to sit here, and now they've torn it down. They built this new condo development. He said to us, not even the Vatican could save this church from its eventual demise. When I heard that, I just said, oh Lord, what would you want us to do with the cry? What would you want us to do with the challenge? What would you want us to do with the call that is before us in Montreal? Yeah, there are a few ways you could participate in this. First, we can pray. We can pray for the preparation of this. You know, we're not actually sending Pastor Joseph until probably in the fall sometime, late summer, early fall. Hopefully his family would be here in Canada with him at that time. The reason he's not here today, because he's in Belgium. Otherwise, I would love to formally introduce you to him. He's going to be there until probably mid-April or so. He hasn't seen his wife for over 2 years, and he was able in the last few weeks to get a visa from Canada to go to Belgium, and his wife was able to get a visa from Congo to go to Belgium, and he sent us these photos just last week. 2.25 years. I got a kick out of this last one. He also learned what to do the Canadian way. Take a selfie. so we can pray for the preparation of God as he brings their family over as permanent residents. His application has been about a year and a half, maybe even almost 2 years, outstanding. Sorry. Also pray for the timing. When is the right time? Pray for the exact location where this new venture would take place in Montreal. Pray for the team of people he needs to gather together from that area to partner with him, to pray into this whole venture, this whole project. Another thing you could do in partnering is to give towards a new venture as the fund is being set up at the St. Lawrence District. So, yeah, our missions fund will cover some of that, but there'll be opportunity as well for individuals to give towards that directly to the St. Lawrence District, and we'll give you more information about that later. There's also an exciting opportunity to go and to serve there in the future as a short-term missions trip. Now, it'll take a while to get set up, maybe a year. The first year, year and a half he spends there is what they call a runway time. He's just going to learn about the culture, immerse himself in the culture of Quebec, the lifestyle of Montreal, understand what the Spirit of God is saying to him at that time. That's his first year and a half or so. After that, there may be opportunities for us, short-term missions trip, to go and visit and to partner with him. And so I asked him just before he left for Belgium, Joseph, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want to do? Because I'm sticking out my neck for you. I'm going to preach this sermon and it's going to be out there. And he said to me, you know what? Look, I'm from the Congo and I've never seen snow before. And when we were in Montreal in January, it was like really this high up in snow. And so he said, I lived here in the worst part of Quebec, the weather time-wise, and that time of year. And he said to me in the eye, right here, I asked him right here, looked me in the eye and says, yes, I sense God's call for me to go. Let's pray together. So, Lord God, we come before you with great humility. That you would find us worthy to be included in this greater plan of yours. That our small church here in this corner of the world, you are giving us a glimpse into the greater work that needs to be done. And so, Lord Jesus, speak to us, we pray. Help us to hear your heart in this. Prepare Pastor Joseph's family, I pray, that they may, in a very short time, be able to be reunited here in Vancouver, in Canada. Clarify the vision. Embolden our hearts. Give us the readiness, it says in Ephesians 6, to be able to be, have our feet fitted with the gospel, to be going out there at your moment's call. Help us, O Lord God, to hear the call you have for our church for such a time as this. And so, Lord Jesus, we present this to you and a desire to continue to wait upon your direction. Put all the pieces together for us that we cannot control. Allow us, oh Lord Jesus, to live according to your will and your plans and your purposes for us as a church. As we submit ourselves to minister to the least reached in our country and in our continent. And so, Lord Jesus, we commit this to you in prayer and humbly ask this, oh God, that we would be found worthy for your use. We thank you. We commit this to you in prayer. Bless your work that will take place. We thank you, Lord Jesus.